I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, at Friday night at the family dinner here at Holy Cross, I was sitting with Angel, and I was sitting with Joe and Matt Aldridge, and of course, we got into this highfalutin conversation about professional wrestling. And I know, and so this was all precipitated by the fact that Angelica and Angel and Noah had gone to the mall in Greenville and they bumped into Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, right? Like one of my heroes from childhood, right? When I was 11, I wanted nothing more than to fly off the top rope like Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, right? And so we got talking about professional wrestling as high scholars like to do. And we said, you know, even when you are 12 years old, you know that professional wrestling is fake in a way. Like all of the stories are scripted, right? And in a way, everybody knows that the stories have been pre-programmed. And so who's going to win and who's going to lose, all of that is fake in the sense that the story has already been written. And in many ways, the story has been replayed again and again for a long time. And even a 12-year-old boy can figure out the storytelling tropes pretty quickly. But we didn't watch professional wrestling because of the fake stories. What we knew was this, was that the best wrestlers, the best professional wrestlers were actually really crazy, right? And if you trained yourself to watch professional wrestling with great attunement, what you realized was that the real stuff, the stuff that the writers could not control, happened outside of the ring, right? That's where the craziness really began. Because even a 12-year-old boy could figure out really quickly that these guys were loaded up on steroids, so they were roid raging, plus they were all like drinking lots of alcohol, plus they were taking cocaine and painkillers, right? And so when you put that on top of resentment, regret, and petty feuds, you get the really, really real to show up, right? That's where the dangerous stuff happened. Outside of the ring, right? And we all had our favorites, right? And my favorite guy was Randy the Macho Man Savage, right? Ooh, yeah, right? You guys all know that, right? Because he was completely unhinged. And what came out later was, like, he was doing so much cocaine that he didn't even really know what his name was, right? And so here we have this situation where we put up with a lot of the fake stuff that's happening in the middle, in the center, right? Just so we can see the really real stuff that's really dangerous off to the side. Because that's the stuff that you're really interested in. You're interested in the guy getting hit over the head by a real chair when he's not actually in the ring, right? And let me tell you, professional wrestling is the greatest metaphor for salvation history. I know you guys have all been wanting to know this for your whole lives, but in reality, professional wrestling is the greatest metaphor for salvation history. So the writers and kind of the high priests of professional wrestling try and control what happens in the ring, right? They mediate the story, right? They interpret the story. They manipulate the wrestlers so that the wrestlers do what they want them to do, right? But everybody knows, the wrestlers, the writers, the people up in the stands, and the 12-year-old boys watching this on television, that all of the stuff in the middle is being controlled. And that is like Israel. Israel has this story that goes back thousands and thousands and thousands of years, right? And the story doesn't really begin with Israel. The story begins with creation. Before any of us have any comprehension of time, there is the beginning. And what we realize is this, is that there are a lot of priests and high priests, and there are a lot of Sadducees and Pharisees and scribes, and there are a lot of kings who are trying to control the story of Israel. They are trying to mediate the story of Israel so the story of Israel remains safe and sanitized so that nobody gets hurt and no priests lose their office. The problem with too many kings and priests and Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and other people try and manicure the story down to a safe way in which only the right amount of animals are sacrificed and all the people do exactly what we tell them to do. The problem is this. The story of Israel gets really boring and really safe and no longer feeds anybody's soul. It becomes a sterilized version of the story of God that is absent God. And let me tell you, I wish that all of this nonsense of kind of priests manicuring the front lawn of salvation history had stopped with Jesus, but one only needs to read a few decades of church history to realize that the Christian priests just picked right up where the Jewish priests had left off, which is to say this, in absence of being able to control the Holy Spirit outside the ring where the really dangerous stuff is happening, we'll control the story in the ring and we'll make it all very neat and tidy. And what we'll do is we'll buy ever more expensive vestments to show how authoritative we all are. And that way, nobody gets hurt and nobody gets confused and nobody asks, is this story really true? The problem is, the more we manicure the story, the smaller the story gets, the safer the story gets, the less interesting the story gets, and the more absent God becomes from the story. And so our reading in today's gospel reading begins with John the Baptist. He's down at the river Jordan, and he is baptizing people, and he is calling them to repent, and he is pulling them out of the safe story down to the river Jordan, where they are going to repent, and they're going to have their lives changed, and they're going to be ready to receive God, the same God that the priests cannot control. And guess what? The priests and the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes and the elders, they all come down to the River Jordan and they want to know what John is doing at the River Jordan. Hey, John, don't you know that the story is happening up there in Jerusalem in the temple? Don't you know that the story is happening in a sanitized version so that nobody gets confused and nobody gets hurt and we all remain in control? Don't you know that the really real is up there? And John knew what was going up there. His own father was a priest. He knew what was going on. And what was going on in the temple, what was going on in Jerusalem, and what was going on in every village in Israel was not enough because the story was not alive and the people were not being fed because they had manicured the danger of the real story out of the story. The good news is not safe news. The good news is not slightly interesting news. The good news is an invitation for you to go a little bit closer to danger than you would like. And so, John announces a couple of things. First, behold the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sin of the world. And if you know what he's referring to the Passover lamb. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were a first century Jew and I was hearing this, I'd be a little bit confused. Why? Because the Passover lamb was something that they ate before they left Egypt, right? And I don't know what the heck John the Baptist is talking about, because I don't want to eat another lamb. I want to know if this guy's the Messiah. And then John says, oh, this is the one who I was told by God was going to have the Holy Spirit descend upon him. And when I baptized him, that is exactly what happened. In other words, what he was telling everybody is, this is the Lamb of God, and the Lamb of God has the Holy Spirit poured on him. And guess what? He will pour out the Holy Spirit upon you. And when he does pour out the Holy Spirit upon you, the story will become real and the story will become dangerous. And you will be asked to do things that you wouldn't choose on your own. I am sorry to tell you, but Jesus has different information for your life than you do. The good news is not that you have a safe, well-manicured lawn of a story that you can think nice thoughts about. Let me ask you, Joe, where did the interesting stuff happen when you were on tour with the Marshall Tucker Band? Did it happen on stage or did it happen off stage? After 2 a.m., that's exactly right. Now, one could say that nothing good happens after midnight on the road with a rock band, but what Joe has pointed out was this. That's where the dangerous stuff happened. That's where the real stories happen. That's where rock and roll actually happened. Not in the sanitized stage where they played the same darn songs over and over and over again and couldn't care less. It's where the dangerous stuff that nobody was in control of happened. Now, after John announces that Jesus is the Lamb of God and that we should all look to him, and after he announces that indeed Jesus has had the Holy Spirit poured on him and that Jesus will pour out the Holy Spirit upon us when he baptizes us, he then has his disciples go and follow Jesus. And Jesus turns around and says, what are you looking for? What are you after? And they say, Rabbi, where are you staying? And his response is the million-dollar response. Come and see. It is the invitation to the gospel. Oh, you want to know? Come and see. You want to get your hands a little dirty? Come and see. You want to have a little danger? Come and see. You want to go where Jesus is going? Come and see. Now, here's the question. Where's Jesus going ultimately? To the cross. That's right, Ed. I didn't even pay you before this service. You weren't even prompted. He's going to the cross as the Lamb of God. That's right. And if we're going to come and see Jesus, where are we going to go? To the cross. That's right. And is the cross the easy place on the manicured lawn of the story? No. The cross is the dangerous place. The cross is the place that nobody's in control of. The cross is the place that Jesus gives everything in love for us. Jesus on the cross is where the story becomes really real. It's where the side becomes the center, and the center pours out life on all of us on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If those words are spoken anywhere other than the cross, it is just hypocrisy where the words don't meet the actions. But on the cross, when all the flesh is given, the story becomes real, the words become real, and our action of following Jesus becomes real, because now the story means something. Now, if you want the sanitized, well-manicured, safe lawn of a story, you can have it. You don't need to come and see what Jesus is up to. No harm, no foul. But behold, the Lamb of God, the one who fulfills the story, makes the story real, the one who brings danger right to us, the one who says, you need more than a safe story. Yes, if you say, yes, Jesus, I will come and see, the story becomes real. And let me tell you, not a single person in this church needs a safe, sanitized, fake story, because it will always give you the same thing. Nothing. The good news is when the Spirit is poured out upon us and we go with Jesus to the cross, that the danger of being with God is made real in who we are as disciples of Jesus. It is when the story becomes real in all of its different manifestations. It is when you and you and you and you and everyone in here becomes an authentic bearer of the dangerous, real story of God's love for us. The good news manifested in you. Amen.